I invite you to get your Bibles this morning. If you will, open to the book of Joshua chapter 3. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us. Joshua chapter 3. As you're turning there, we'll be reading about the crossing over the River Jordan, that the Israelites have finally gotten to the Promised Land and they're getting ready to cross over the Jordan River. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way hitherto, or heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is, beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, what it teaches us on how to live for you and how to walk in faith. And Lord, I pray this morning as your Spirit searches our hearts this morning, as your word speaks to our heart, and as it convicts us, dear Lord, of the things that we need to deal with in our lives, whether it be sin that's unconfessed, whether it's a need for salvation through repentance and faith. Lord, we pray that you will guide and direct our hearts. Maybe there's decisions that need to be made here this morning as to a greater walk for you, a greater call of service. Lord, I pray that you will give us direction and we will obey in following. Lord, I pray that you'll guide and direct my heart this morning in my words, that only the things that I should speak are those that come forth. But in all these things, we're going to give you praise for what you're going to do in this service. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, throughout our Christian lives, there will be times where we're going to be faced with making a decision to take a step of faith. And these times may include a call to surrender into the Lord's service. It could be such as teaching a Sunday school class, singing a song in front of the congregation, giving a devotional, sharing the gospel message with a lost soul, or even discipling a babe in Christ. All of these things take faith that the Lord is going to be there with us. To take a step of faith could also mean making decisions about your family and your home, such as maybe applying for a new job, maybe having to move to another location, starting a business, even buying a home, sending a child off to college, sending a child off to serve in the armed forces, or, as we see today, is just living day by day, takes a step of faith. The bottom line, though, is that if you're willing to take a step of faith, I can guarantee you that the Lord will walk beside you each step of the way. And He will also lead you as you go, but you've got to be willing to take a step of faith. You know, too often our lack of faith in the Lord causes us not to take a step of faith. We put up barriers. We allow things to become barriers. Sometimes they're the unknown. Sometimes there are other people. Sometimes maybe we have a lack of learning about something, and that puts us and halts us. And rather than trying to gain the knowledge that we need so we can move forward, letting God lead us, is that all these things can cause us to not take a step of faith. And as a result, sometimes we fail to remember. If the Lord is calling us to do something or leading us in a path to do something, and we do not take a step of faith that He is guiding us in, we are going to lose victories, and we're going to lose blessings. All too often we forget about the things that we have missed out on, that we have failed to receive, is because that we were not willing to take a step of faith in the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about taking a blind step of faith. I'm talking about taking a step of faith in the Lord. And the Lord would never lead us to do something that's contrary to His Word. He would never lead us in a path that would go in the direction of harm. That means that whatever path that we're going to take, whatever direction that we're going to have, is that we must go back to the Scripture and, under the counsel of the Spirit of God, find out if this is really God calling us to do something, or is it Satan trying to lead us off of the path that God would have us to be on. Well, this morning we're going to look, using this passage of Scripture, we're going to discuss the taking steps of faith, and especially about looking at the Israelites, of what they did, and the results of their actions. So as we started reading here in the first four verses, we find is that now the Lord is ready the people. He has readied the people to go across the River Jordan. If you go back and you study, you'll find that for 40 years the Israelites had wandered through the wilderness. Everyone that was 20 years and above died in the wilderness. They were not allowed to go into the promised land because of the fact is that they were unwilling to take a step of faith to go when the Lord called them to go. And as a result, they died. They missed the victory. They missed the calling in it. And I have to look at, you know, as I was preparing for this message, I have to think about Joshua. 40 years earlier, Joshua was ready to go. Caleb was ready to go. Let us go take the land that God has given us. But we know that they just about stoned him. They just about stoned Moses as well for leading them out, you know, out of Egypt. And here it's time, God says, now it's time for you to go across this River Jordan and to go into that land that God has promised you. And that had been promised starting with Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. As we are reading here in these opening verses, the Lord told them, through Joshua rather, that they were to the priest, they were going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to stay back about 2,000 cubits. Now, if you were to measure it out, a cubit's roughly around 18 inches. If you do the math, you roughly got about a half of a mile between the Ark of the Covenant and the people. Now remember, the Israelites we're looking at probably a couple million people here that are living, that are ready to go into this land. And remember, this is the 20 and under group that's grown up in the wilderness. And so they're ready to go across this River Jordan into the promised land that God had given them. This was a brand new generation of Israelites. They knew little about all, you know, I'm sure they were told about the promises of this land, but they were still new to this land. They had never walked in this land. They had never seen this land. They really didn't have a lot of knowledge. But I will tell you is that what I find here is that these people were ready to go into the promised land. They were willing to follow after Joshua and follow the priests that were going to carry this Ark of the Covenant on behalf of the Lord. Now we know that the Ark of the Covenant, let's be very clear here, is that the Ark of the Covenant was not God. Though many had later on had started to believe that it was God. They didn't believe that it was just a semblance of God's presence, but many of them had looked upon it as being a God. But this was a semblance of God's presence and His leadership, and they were to watch, they were to follow as the Levites, the priests, carried the Ark. If they were going to take a step of faith, you know, if we're going to take a step of faith, we have to have our eyes fixed directly on Christ. We have to have our eyes fixed on His Word. Now let me tell you this, and I'm going to say, I've said this before and I'm going to repeat it again. This Bible is not God. It's His Word. It's what He's given us to follow after Him. What He's given us to learn about Him. What He's given us to learn how to live a life for Him. But this Bible is not God. Just as the Ark of the Covenant was not God, even though it contained, the Ark of the Covenant contained the Ten Commandments, if you will. It was not God. His Word is given to us, it's been written down, it's been preserved for us so that we may use it. It is His Word, but it is not God. In other words, we don't bow down to the Word, to the Bible. We bow down to the Lord, and we follow, we study the Word of God so that we may know how to serve Him. We need to put these things in perspective and understand that what's been given to us in His Word, in the Bible, is so that we may be able to take a step of faith under His leadership, through His Word, and through His Spirit guiding us. In fact, one of the things I think about looking at Christ, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto. In other words, we have to search for, we have to look at, we have to see Him. Look at the pattern of His life. How did He live His life? The Scripture says that the Word of God is recorded example after example so we know how to pattern our lives. If someone tells us, come follow me, well, and He's not in our presence, well, how am I going to know what it means to follow Him? Jesus said, come follow me. Deny thyself, take up thy cross daily, and come follow me. How am I going to know how to follow Jesus? We have to have something written down as our guidebook. If we're going to take a step of faith and knowing, the Scripture says that trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct our paths. That is so that we can dedicate our lives to be able to walk by faith, not blind faith, but what I call a no-so faith, a know that's a faith that is being guided by the Lord. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord says, it said unto His disciples, as well as He says to us, follow me. And one of the things He says, I will show you how to become what? Fishers of men. How to become fishers of men. How am I going to know how to become a fisher of men? Well, how am I going to know what that even means? Does that mean I'm going to get a rod and a reel? Am I going to go buy a bucket of worms? Am I going to go sit on here some fishing bank? Is that what He's talking about? No, it's not. He's talking about the souls and the hearts of lost individuals. And so we're going to take the Word and we're going to find out through His Word how to take a step of faith, how to become useful for Him so that we can be what? Fishers of men. By the way, you and I cannot save anyone. Jesus can save everyone. He can save everyone because His grace is afforded and given to all. And so as a result of this, as a result is that the people were told, the Israelites were told, is that when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests and Levites bearing it, then, in verse 3, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. You know, I'm going to take a side statement here for just a moment. They had the visual sighting, a visual sighting that they were to go somewhere when they had, when they saw with their own eyes that they were to go somewhere. When you see that Ark of the Covenant, when you see the priests coming together, when you see them, that's the time to go. At that moment. Don't go before, don't go after, but go when you see that. Now think about this, is that oftentimes the Spirit of God, He presses upon our heart to go. You understand what I'm talking about? He often presses upon our heart. How many times, and I'll give you an example, how many times have you been in the presence of someone and there's just this burning desire, I need to talk to them about spiritual things. How many times have you had that inkling, that understanding, just that heart conviction? Now, I'm not talking about just something in my mind that I got to do it just to do it, but I'm talking about a heart decision that God is calling you to do, to go and talk to that individual, whether it be to encourage them, maybe they're downtrodden, maybe to talk to them about their spiritual need of salvation, and the Spirit of God says, go, take that faith, take that step of faith, go and do this because I'm calling you to do it now, and we choose not to do it. That to me is some of the same type of prompting. When you see the Ark of the Covenant going, then go. They had to step out on faith. They didn't know where they were going to go. Remember what he told them here. He says, keep a space between you and it, about a 2,000 cubits, again about a half a mile. Come not near it, that you may know the way that which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And there are times the Lord may lead us to a place, you know, and think about this, is that how many times do we get so busy in our lives? How many times do we get so busy and we have a course? I'm going to tell you, I'm an A to B type of guy. I'm at A, I want to get to B. I don't want any distractions. I'm at A, I want to get to B. That's just me, alright? How I want to go. But there are many times in my life the Lord says, but I need you to go to C for just a moment. I don't understand why He wants me to go to C, because I'm on a timeline, I'm on a schedule, I have some place I want to be, and He says, go to C. When I willingly go to see, I find out the reason He had something for me to do. B could take care of itself. B could take care of itself. But I needed to be at C. I'll get to B eventually, because that was where my destination was. But I needed to take a bypass to get to C. I needed to go to C. In other words, I needed to go where the Lord was directing me. I am sure that you have encountered those same types of things. You didn't know why, but the Lord's prompting took you there, and then when you got there, now you knew, you understood. And He gave you everything you needed to take care of the situation. Again, it could be helping someone, it could be, you name it. Whatever the need was, you found out when you got there. And you see, this is where I see when these people were ready to take a step of faith. I have to believe Joshua was such elated that it was time to go into the promised land. I have to believe that he was such elated. In fact, one of the things that we look at, let's continue reading back in our text, where it says here that in verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This is really going to be the first challenge, if you will, that of the leadership here, because we know that Joshua is the successor. Joshua is the successor of Moses. And as a result of being the successor, there's going to be a lot of weight, even though that he has been primed, if you will, even though he has been mentored, even though that he has been shown the way. It's another thing to step into that leadership position. It's one thing to stand afar off and see how somebody else does it. But until that mantle has been given unto you to actually pick it up and to do something with it, then it's something that's going to be said about who we are. And I will also look at this, is that God will not put you into a place for failure. Now, you may put yourself into a place that you will fail, but God will never put you into a place to fail. If God is calling you into a place of service, God will equip you with everything that you need to serve Him in that position. Now, let me be very clear about that, is that there is no shortcuts. And what I mean by this is the Lord calls you into a service that He's designed for you, that He wants you to be in. You cannot lay the Bible down underneath your pillow at night and expect through osmosis to just get it to metamorphose into your mind and you immediately know how to do it. Okay? I'm just going to set the record straight. I've never learned anything sleeping on the Bible, and neither will you. In other words, you've got to get it out, you've got to open it, and you start reading about it. If you want to find out about what it means to be a leader, study people like Moses. Study people like Joshua. Study people like David. What you will find in their leadership, and especially in talking about stepping out on faith, what you will find is they made mistakes at times. But you'll also find they knew where to go to the Lord to reconcile those mistakes. You'll know that. You'll find it. You'll see the good. You'll see the bad. Learn to do the good and learn not to do the bad. Why have to repeat history all over again? But if you want to find about how that someone was a leader, go into the Scripture and read about people that were leaders and how they stood, how they served. Also, as I mentioned just a moment ago, is that God will give you everything you need. Turn back to Joshua chapter 1 for just a moment. In verse 7, so when we talk about taking a step of faith, as you're turning back there, I want to call out there's three distinct groups of people, if you will, that were going to be required to take a step of faith in order to go into this promised land that God has given them. So we have, first of all, we have Joshua. Again, Moses' successor. And notice in verse 7 of Joshua 1, the Lord tells him, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now we can read the negative in that as well. If you choose not to observe according to all that's in here, thy way shall not be prosperous, and you will have no success. Alright? Whenever you read the Scriptures, you've got to read it from both perspectives. If I do what it says, I follow the leadership of the Lord, is that I will be prosperous. I didn't say rich, I said prosperous, and I will have great success if I'm willing to follow. And this is what was told to Joshua. It goes on to say, verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So Joshua had to look at this. Now the mantle has been handed to him. Moses had died. Now the mantle has been handed to him. He is going to be leading the people. He has been trained. But now he has to do exactly what the Lord says, "Let not thy word that was given unto you depart from you." In other words, you've got to keep the word, follow it, study it, understand it, and I will be with you all the way. So we have, first of all, Joshua. Talking about three different groups of people. Secondly, there were the Levites. Now the Levites were the priestly tribe, and they would have to not only trust God, but they were also going to have to trust Joshua, because Joshua was going to give them guidance just as much as Moses did. And for God, God would use Joshua to give them commandments to follow, and they too had to take a step of faith. They would have to believe also that there was no harm to come to them. And one of the very first places that they were going to have to take a step of faith is that Joshua was going to tell them is that, by the way, I want you to go and you're going to be the first ones to step into the bank or the river bank. And by the way, it overflows because it's harvest time. The water, in fact, the River Jordan is in a valley area. There's not a place for it to really leach out. It overflows its banks, but there is no place for it to really leach out into a lot of other areas. It just swells up and overflows the banks, but it keeps roaring. You're going to be the first ones to step in to that water. Now, not only are you going to be the first ones to step into the water, you're going to be carrying the ark with you, and you better not let, and that's one of the things I've been thinking about, you better not let that thing get out of shelter. You better not touch it, because you know what's going to happen if you touch it, because you're only supposed to hold it with the staves that are going through it. I mean, they had to have faith that they were going to step in faith. They were going to step in that water, and somehow, they were not going to die. Somehow. You also have to think about this as well. Remember what I said earlier. This is the 20 and below group that's grown up. 20, because everybody was 20 and above had died in the wilderness. There was a lot of faith here to follow this man, Joshua. And so what we see here is that, and God was going to establish Joshua as a leader. And these Levites, as it said in verse 13, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord The Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And these individuals that have grown up, again, they were the 20 and down group, that had grown up going through the wilderness, is that now they have to follow this leadership of Joshua. So that was the second group. There was also the third group of people, which was all of the rest of the Israelites. They had to be willing to follow not only Joshua, they had to take a step of faith to also follow the priests, because the priests were going to bear the ark that they were going to go through. Remember, they've still got their sight, and what they're seeing is the River Jordan, harvest time, overflowing banks, and Joshua is saying, we're all going through it. We're all going through it. Now, you roll back 40 years earlier, and you go and you study about the account of Moses. You remember when the Lord got the people out of Egypt, and He didn't let them go towards the way of the Philistines because He didn't want them to engage in war. Because that's exactly what would have happened. He says, no, I want you to go towards the sea. And they went towards the sea, and then all of a sudden they hear what? This roar coming from behind. They hear this roar coming from behind. It was because of the fact that Pharaoh had gotten all of his chariots and all of his soldiers, and they had gotten all their horses, and they had put them all together, and there was no way they were going to let these people leave. They were going to bring them back. And you remember the first thing, they hadn't even hardly gotten out of Egypt, and the first thing they looked at Moses and said, what did you do? You brought us out here to what? Die? And they hadn't even gotten, they really hadn't gone far, very far at all. There's a river, there's a sea here. What are we going to do? And what did Moses say? Stand still and see what the God of the Creator of all things is going to do before you. You see, these people here, they came, and I don't see, and I have not read anywhere where any of them were quibbling. I don't hear any of them say, Joshua, what are you thinking about here? I don't see any of them. And now, whether or not they had learned from their parents what it means to really have a step of faith, whether they had learned, I just look at it as that here is a generation that's grown up and they're willing to follow. Will they make mistakes along their path? Yes, they will. But they were willing to follow the leadership of the Lord through Joshua and also the Levites. So they were going to have to, again, they were going to have to follow the Lord. And I think that one of the things that I want to switch for just a moment here, I want to talk about just for a second here, the leadership of churches today, whether it be a pastor, whether it be deacons, or whether it be Sunday school teachers, as an example, is that we need to understand is that we have an awesome responsibility as leaders in this congregation, and for any congregation in the same manner, is that we have to be willing to understand is that we have an awesome responsibility to do what? Not to lead people based on whims, programs, conjured up ministries, but what we do is we lead people, first of all, by studying the Word ourselves, living the Word ourselves, and then leading by the Word of God and through His Spirit. We have an awesome responsibility in a leadership role, because if we're going to be leading people, in fact, you know, in Hebrews chapter 13 and 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you. And I've told you about that word rule. Rule means leading. All right? A pastor, as an example, can lead in a couple ways or rule in a couple ways. He can lead the flock to green pastures and clear water, or he can drive them to slaughter. And there's too many preachers today, I think, are leading from their behind. And they're driving the congregation to slaughter in the ways, the things that they're doing. They ought to be in front, leading in the paths of the Lord. But it's incumbent upon them to lead them in the way that God has taught them through His Word, through His Spirit. And you see, when we have in Scripture, it says in Hebrews 13 and 7, and when you have a leader that is ruling according to the way that God would have him to do, it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their manner of living. Jesus said this, as recorded in John 12 and 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Remember what I said earlier? about what Joshua was told. Study the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. There will be victories and there will be success. If we are not willing to follow Jesus Christ, if we're not willing to follow after Him, then I will tell you, God will not honor us. You have to look at the negative side of that as well. When we follow Him, there's honor. When we will not follow Him and we're disobedient, there will not be honor. So, and I again, I have to look at Joshua where he's at in his place. Remember, 40 years earlier, he wanted to go possess the land. They wanted to stone him. And as a result, he also had to take the wilderness journey, but God preserved him. Back in our text here, back in the chapter 2 for just a moment, look at verse 23. Now, if you read in chapter 2, Joshua sends out 2 spies. They go into Jericho. They search out the land. These 2 spies come back, and they tell that the people's hearts have failed because of the fact is that the people of Jericho understand who the Israelites are. And verse 23 says, so the 2 men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. I look at this as that these men, though that they had seen the walled city of Jericho, they had seen how because of what God had done on this side of Jordan at Theron, how there had been 2 kings that they had gone up against, they had annihilated them, how that God had protected them. How, in fact, if you read through that passage, the people of Jericho knew the fact is that they had gone through the Red Sea. All of that had been recorded. It was only 40 years earlier. They understood that and they knew that the God of Israel was with them and He was formidable. Who can stand against the God of Israel? And here are these 2 men, these 2 spies came back. And they came back. And I have to believe that with Joshua himself, it just validated everything he had said 40 years earlier. They could have taken it, but they lost the privilege of going forward at that time. Here it's been revalidated. We can take it, and now we're going to be able to go and do it. And I have to believe that Joshua was having a little bit of a revival time here, if you will, because of the fact he had seen is that the faith he was willing to step out with is now come to fruition. And you know, and sometimes our desire to go forward gets blocked by other people. But if it's in God's will, He'll make a way. It just may be delayed. That's why we don't give up. That's why we keep pressing forward. Back in our text here in chapter 3, look at verse 14. So if we're going to take a step of faith, I will tell you, it will lead. If we're willing to take a step of faith, it will lead to victory over barriers. Verse 14, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were coming to Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all the banks, all his banks, all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jordan, or Jericho rather. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Notice it wasn't wet. As soon as they stepped into the water, it completely dried up. The waters heaped back, if you will. They heaped back and they stood on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And too often, again, we hinder ourselves from taking a step of faith because all we can see is the barriers. All we can see is the rushing mighty water. All we can see is what stands before us. But you know what? The Lord wanted the people to get to the other side. Because you see, on the other side was where the blessings were. As I mentioned, and I'm going to drive this point home, we miss victories, we miss blessings, we miss prosperity, we miss success, because all we see are the barriers. All we see are the barriers. Because we don't understand the Lord's ways. And remember what the Lord says, well, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We don't understand is that there's victory if we'll just press forward. You know what the Lord told the church? Jesus made this statement. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. The gates of hell. Do you realize that we cause the gates of hell to prevail against us? Now you see, the gates of hell prevailing says that in order for the gates of hell to prevail, it says we have to stop progress. That means we have stopped. As long as we are pushing forward. And you see, it's kind of in an athletic type of arena, especially, if you will, in a football type of arena. If all a team ever plays is defense, there's a high probability they're never going to score. Because the offense is always going to do what? Keep pushing at them. But if you are playing on offense and you push forward in offense and you keep pushing harder and harder, there's a higher probability that you're going to win because the other team is not going to prevail. Well, that's the same way about Satan. As long as the church keeps pushing forward, it says the gates of hell shall not prevail. In other words, all the fronts, the obstacles, the biggest, meanest individuals. We look at our society today. Think about us as churches today. They're churches that are trying to say true to God's Word. What do we have? Well, we got signs on bathrooms now that say what? Whichever, whatever, whatever you want to claim to be, go in. All right? We've got same-sex marriage today that 30 years ago we would have thought never would have happened. But yet it's what? The law of the land now, it says. We've got all of this, these things that are going on. We've got children killing children. All right? Without any regard for life at all. We've got drugs that have permeated not only the homes, but are just, you know, bought and sold, and kids are being taught what? That, you know what, you can make more selling drugs and doing all these things than being honest and earning a living. So you can lift your head up on high. We have all of these social ills that are going, and all of these things are what? I believe they have gained ground in our lives and around about us is because the church stopped taking a step of faith to go forward. And you know what? What even gets worse, in much of this, churches said, you know what, in order to maybe make a change, we've got to invite all these people in. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be very careful what I'm saying here, and I want you to hear what I'm saying. Anyone that walks in our doors, they're invited to come in and sit down and listen to the Word of God. Because only the Word of God and the Spirit of God can change a man's heart. Anyone that walks in, they're welcome to come in. But you cannot bring all of the ills of society in here and expect us to embrace them as a norm. Because according to God, they're not a norm. There are certain ways that we're to live our lives and pattern our lives. And you know what? It's getting harder and harder. Harder and harder to stand for the truth. But with God, the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell will prevail is when we say, in order for us to do what? To meet the world's needs, we must bring the world in and everything with it and embrace it because you know what? People, that's just the way people are. That's who they are. No, you choose to do these things. That is not the way that God intended you to be. He intended you to live a life for Him. And we'll show you what it means through His Word, how to take a step of faith and live for Him. How He can change your life. How you can live a life that's more abundant for Him and pleasing unto Him. But you see, too often what we do is we just see the barriers. That person's not going to listen. Did you try? That person's not going to listen, but did you try? Did you take a step of faith? But you know, think about this. What about the person that looked at you and came to talk to you about Jesus? What if they had said, that person's not going to listen to me. Why should I try? We allow things to become barriers, but those things, those barriers have to be pushed aside because if the Lord has led us to our River Jordan, we've got to be willing to stick our feet in it and expect that it's going to do what? There's going to be dry ground. There's going to be dry ground so that we can go over. And here's some of the arguments I think that, you know, they could have gotten to the River Jordan and here's what some of the Israelites could have said. We can't get to the other side, Joshua, because the water's too treacherous to cross. Where's the bridge? We don't have enough boats. How are we going to get across? You know, come on, Joshua. We've got all these women, children. We've got all our animals. How are we going to get across? Or they could have said, Joshua, You want us to go over there and you want us to destroy all those people? We're not warriors. The people on the other side of the River Jordan, they're going to fight harder than us because we're going to be over there trying to take their land. I think the Lord destroyed more people than the Israelites ever did on any given day. The Lord says, this is the land I'm giving you. And you see, they could have allowed all of these barriers, all of the thoughts in their minds to take over. But you know what? I find no one saying it would have been better for us to have died in the wilderness. As their forefathers had said, it would have been better for us to die in Egypt. At least there were graves back there. I don't find any of them saying that. This was a generation. Young people, I will tell you this, is that you need to understand is that sometimes you need to be the ones coming up behind us and saying, you know what? We're going to take that step of faith with you. Even though that the people that have been on this earth for a long period of time, they've been battered, bruised, taking their steps of faith, the young people need to come along as well. They need to come along and they need to say, you know what? We've watched you. We've watched your lives. We've seen the benefit of going forward for the Lord. And you know what? We're not only going to just follow you, we're going to lock arms and help pull you through as well. You see, that's what I see some of these young people, this younger generation that came along. They were not willing to stand down. They were willing to go forward. They didn't understand how God was going to take care of all of it, but they were willing to step forward in the step of faith and knowing that God would take care of going forward. The priest had to put their foot in the foot in the water, but as soon as they did, they were on dry ground, and everyone else walked through on dry ground. But you know, sadly, there's many that will never take that step of faith. They'll never take that step of faith, and for an unbeliever, I always have to ask, what's holding you back? Why won't you take the step of faith and trust in the Lord? For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. God gave you faith to trust in Him. God gave you faith. It's not something you just woke up one day and said, you know what? I think I'm going to trust in Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is He gave you faith. Then He says, okay, now the faith that I've deposited within you, it can only be placed in one person to save you. And His name is Jesus. Scripture says there's no other name, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So therefore, take the faith that the Lord has given us. Take the step of faith. He says, repent of our sins. He says, understand you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Trust in Him that He can save you. He will save you if you'll trust in Him. So many people are going to miss heaven because they never were willing to take that step of faith initially. Now, once you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, now your life in the Lord starts. Now it's been activated. Now it's the time that we come back and we start to understand what it means to live a life for Christ by following through the Lord. But unfortunately, too many people refuse. I don't know how many people I've heard make this statement. Well, when I get cleaned up enough, I'll come to Jesus. You'll never get cleaned up enough. When I change my life and I do a lot more wonderful things in the name of God, I'll come to Jesus. You'll never do enough wonderful things. You'll never make enough money. Well, you know what? I'll come to Jesus after I join this church down there. That church isn't going to do you any good either. The church can't save you. Well, you know, I was told if I got baptized, that would take care of me, get me going. No, that baptism won't save you either. It'll get you wet, but it won't save you either. Taking a step of faith means trusting in Jesus. And that's where we need to be if we've never trusted in Christ as Savior. But you see, one of the things I look at is that as these individuals, these Israelites, were getting ready to go across the River Jordan, something happened here also that I think I'm going to take just a couple minutes and mention that I think is very important. Look at the next chapter, chapter 4. Notice what happened here. It says, and it came to pass, in verse 1, came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. You shall carry them over with you and leave them at the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men. Remember in the previous chapter, there were 12 men had been set aside for this particular job. They didn't know exactly what they were going to do. Now they know. Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. So this is something quite large. According unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. He realizes that what they were going to do with these stones, they were going to set them up as a memorial to remind them and to serve as a constant reminder that the Lord had dammed up the water. That the Lord, in fact, if you go and you study about this, is that it says that the water was heaped up all the way back to Adam, the city of Adam, which was about 13 miles away. It was also back to the sea, where the Dead Sea was one of the contributing tributaries. It pushed it all the way back to the Dead Sea. So we find is that how the Lord had done all that, and not only did the Lord heap up all this water, but also they walked upon dry ground, and this was to remind them that the Lord was going to open the door for them to go into the promised land, having been 40 years earlier. Remind you, and I look at this as that if we are not willing to take a step of faith, one of the things, remember I said you won't have prosperity, you won't have success, you won't have blessings, but you know what you're also not going to have? Landmarks. You're not going to have memorials. You see, some of the things that, you know, as you progress as a child of God, I can know it from my own life that when the Lord has called me to do things that were, I'll say, more difficult than what I had done before, or they appeared to be more difficult than what I had ever done before, or into areas that I was venturing in that I had even less knowledge about going into than what I had before, is that I can always go back and look at those memorials in my life, those places where I had been willing to take a step of faith, and I can go back to those places in my life, and I can say, you know what? The Lord brought me through that. And as a result, if He brought me through that, and that was a landmark that I had, then why would He not bring me through this next thing if I'll just take the step of faith? You and I need landmarks. You and I need memorials. They were going to use this heap of stones, these 12 stones, to remind them that, you know what? And when your grandchildren and their grandchildren asked, what do these stones represent? This is when our forefathers were willing to take a step of faith to go across the River Jordan. And as a result, we are the benefactors of all that have come before us. You know, that's why it's so important for us to sometimes go back and read Hebrews chapter 11. I call it the Hall of Faith. These all died not receiving the promises, but they looked at a country afar off and they did what? They kept moving forward. They were willing to be sawn asunder. They were willing to die. But you know, they kept going forward. And you know, those are things that sometimes we need to go back and read about them and read about the things that they were willing to do. And they saw that even though they may have lost their lives, you can go back to what Paul said, ask them from this body present with the Lord. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, death, where is thy victory, right? Where is it? But you see, in Jesus Christ, I know that the greatest blessing is that even if I leave this world, I know where I'm going to be. Not because I said it, but because He told me it in His Word. He promised me. And you see, as a result of going forward, every one of us need to establish landmarks. As parents and grandparents, we need to have landmarks so we can tell our children. You know, we've been trying to get a building built for several years now. But I go back and I look at all the obstacles that we had to go through. There was no land to buy. Couldn't afford it. But you know, we kept moving forward. The Lord provided the land.
Well, it's too costly to build a building. Well, we went forward. And we're getting close to building the building. The building will be built in God's timing. But then what's next? What's next? Do we stop? Because the minute we stop, then what happens is the gates of hell will prevail against us. So there's greater work to do. We just have to be willing to take the step of faith. And when I look at this, is that as they went forward, and you get on into the preceding chapters, you'll find is that as they came into Jericho, what did the Lord do? Well, they were told to march around this Jericho for 6 days. Now, this seems like you talk about warfare here. What kind of warfare is this? March around the building around Jericho for 6 days. 1 day around it. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. Just march. Unconventional, isn't it? But you know what they did? One step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. The seventh day, march around the 7 day and blow that horn. They all got to see the people outside the walls of Jericho and the people inside the walls of Jericho got to see something that has never been repeated before. The walls came down. Now, I'm a firm believer of this. The walls did not fall down the traditional way that you and I would maybe think of. The walls, I truly believe, went straight down in the ground. And here's the reason why I believe that. Because if you follow the side story that's also going in about Rahab the harlot, her house was on the wall. And she was promised this. If you and your family are in that house, in your house when we come, not a one of you will be harmed. If the walls fell down and crumbled all around them, how in the world would they have been able to make good on that promise of God that she would be preserved and protected? That's why I believe she had an elevator ride down. And she was able to come out safe because she too was willing to take a step of faith. Kind of find her in the lineage of Jesus somewhere in there in the Bible, didn't it? Right? Because she was willing to take a step of faith. The question is this morning, are you and I willing to take a step of faith for the Lord? First, it starts in salvation. But then, after salvation, because our journey has just begun, every one of us are on our own journey. We collectively work together as a congregation, as the body of Christ, as members in particular, if you will. But you see, we're still on our own journeys. Every one of us need to be willing to take a step of faith. And when you take a step of faith, you encourage me to take mine. When I take a step of faith, I encourage you to take yours. And you see, that's how we work together. Every one of us. And that's without age. That's without age. We take a step of faith. Where are you today in serving the Lord? I can't answer that question for you. Just like you can't answer that question for me. But I will tell you who you need to answer it to. And that's Jesus. Let us stand as our musicians come for hymn of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, we come before you at the close of this study, of this message, Lord, as you've spoken to our hearts, you know each need that's here. And Lord, I pray that if there's one in our midst that's never trusted in your Son Jesus as Savior, Lord, I pray that this will be the day of salvation. Maybe, Lord, we've had barriers that we've allowed to be placed in front of us and that, Lord, we couldn't see past the barriers. Lord, I pray that you will show us that you can break down that barrier. That our lives will become more fruitful for you. Lord, as you said, as we follow you, we follow in according to your path, you said our Heavenly Father will honor us as He honored you. Lord, may that be that pushes us forward to know that we are pleasing in our service unto you. Not that we get a pat on the back, but Lord, that we give you all the honor and glory. Whatever the need of the hour is this morning, may we be obedient and follow. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.